here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best, sir.
Well, that's right. We're always looking for the best of the best of the best, sir. This is Tim Stinger, Giant Straight Talk, powered by Online Big Blue LLC. Want to talk about the total eclipse of the heart, or also Joe Shane, and can the 2024 Giants eclipse the 2023 Giants and maybe even surpass the 2022 Giants? And that's a tall task. That's a lot to ask for, because if you take a look at this roster, and we've done this before, and we've done it ad nauseum, but we didn't do it after free agency. But if you take a look at this roster, you look, take a look at the cap is the way it's, the salary cap's also been constructed. You take a look at some of the signings. You take a look at some of the things that Joe Shane has done this season. And for a guy that is truly on the hot seat, some of the things that he's done has been, I would say, perplexing at best. And I roll right into the Isaiah Simmons re-signing. If you got him for a veteran minimum deal, if you got him for a little over a veteran minimum deal, we don't have the complete details of the contract yet. It's a good depth piece. It's a guy that was here for 17 games, started four. You thought he would excel in the Wink system because it gave him the ability to freelance, to show his versatility. And honestly, we got 50 tackles, 33 solo, 17 assists, and 2 tackles for loss, and only 1 quarterback hit. And this is for a guy that's in a blitzing defense with Wink. You go on social media of the Giants, you go on other content creators, and you think the Simmons signing is the greatest trade signing ever. I keep wanting to say trade because he did get traded here. But it's the greatest signing ever. You see some of these people. He's going to be a phenomenal piece. Sure. Is he better than Dane Belton? I think I'm better than Dane Belton. You can take a look at the gifted interceptions, and everyone wants to forget about the fact that he was the trailer on like 5 consecutive touchdowns after those. And then he got benched in the Texans game 2 years ago and didn't see the light of day till towards the end of last season because of injuries. Is he better than Jason Pinnock? No, I don't think so. But you're getting a guy back, 25 years old, going into year 5, who doesn't have a position. He is a tweener. I said it in the stream the other day. If you go use the major league reference, there's AAA, and then there's the majors. And sometimes there's guys kind of stuck in the middle. They're too good to be in AAA, but not good enough to be in the majors. I call them AAA B players because they're not exactly good enough to make it in the majors, but they're way too good to be in AAA. We don't know what Isaiah Simmons is. We don't know what he can do. His versatility may not be in full display with Shane Bowen because his defenses outside of the 2 years with Jim Schwartz have not, who was his mentor, go look it up in the Tennessean, has not been what we refer to as a bastion of hope for players that have versatility outside of his 4 defensive linemen. And you have a guy that everyone talks about how well and how great this Isaiah Simmons signings is, and you know, and how he's good. I love it. He's going to be also a massive contributor on special teams. Okay, last year he only played 49% of the snaps on special teams. 224 snaps, 49%. He only played in 33% of the defensive snaps last year because everyone wants to talk about, well, his coverage skills. His coverage skills are beyond reproach. He was one of the best covering safeties. Well, just like a few years back, there was a guy that was 7th in the league in deep ball passes, but only had 13 attempts. And then the next guy had 44. When you have limited amount of attempts and you excel, it doesn't mean that it's going to excel over the complete body of work. I told the story before. I played baseball as well. Couldn't hit a lick. First game of the season, I go 3 for 3. Manager says, oh, well, you know what? We're going to keep playing Tim because he's a great defensive catcher. Yeah. Then I go 0 for 3. So I'm still batting 500. Then I go 0 for 3 again. So now I'm batting 250. 3 games, I'm batting 250 with 2 extra base hits. Yeah, too bad. Statistically, that looks great. But theoretically, if you actually break it down, all my hits came in one game. It's the same thing with Isaiah Simmons. Everyone wants to talk about his versatility and how he's going to add it to the defense. Well, he's only played in 33% of the snaps last year. His snap count has gone from 34, 92 to 81 to 33. Because he doesn't have a position. He would be a good depth piece on a good team. Here, he potentially is going to be a starter, either at linebacker or at safety. And he already basically said that he doesn't want to play safety. he said that before. So maybe that's going to change. But then you look at that signing, you're thinking to yourself, well, okay, Shane, you know what? 31 other teams passed on him multitudes of times during this free agency because no one offered him a contract. You don't even hear about a visit for Isaiah Simmons. No one offered him a contract. 31 other teams looked at this guy, looked at his versatility, saw him being on the free agent market for almost 4 weeks, and basically said, nah, we're good. We're going to pass.
Now, I don't know what that means, but it sounds pretty bad.
It does sound pretty bad. Because then he just comes back to the Giants, and Giant fans immediately go, well, this is going to be the greatest. This is going to be the greatest signing ever. It's like I said, if you're a good team, this is a good depth piece. If you're the Giants, he could potentially be a starter, which just makes you cringe. What also makes me cringe is something we've talked about a million times before, and we've talked about this ad nauseum. We've been talking about this for weeks, and now some people are finally getting on the train. The Giants, without the rule of 51, with the Dexter Lawrence restructure, not counting the rookie draft pool, the $10 million in operational cap space that Joe Shane says he likes to have, the practice squad and a few other things are about $9 million over the cap once the rule of 51 ends, which would be at the end of training camp. That's not a good look for a team that has a large segment, almost 40% of its salary cap, tied into four players. Daniel Jones, Andrew Thomas, Brian Burns, and Dexter Lawrence. You've already restructured Dexter. You're going to have to restructure Andrew Thomas. You're going to have to pray that Darren Waller retires and you get that $6.7 million in cap space. But like I said, we're about $9 million over the cap without the $10 million in operational cap space, without the rookie draft pool, and without the practice squad. And the people are like, well, Tim, you know, what we're going to do is we're just going to trade back into the first round to get that quarterback we desire. No, we're not. Because I've said it before, Brian Burns is your additional first round pick. Because of the fact that you are going to have a cap number of $5 million right now for your first round pick. You got 1.4 for your second. You got 1.08, I believe it is, for your third. So right there, you have $7 million in total cap space that you're going to have to account for. Of course, once Rule 51 breaks. And the problem is this. These are the problems that we run into. If you trade back into the first round, even if you get into the lower teens or into the 20s, you're going to add another $3 million onto that salary cap. So now your first round picks are no longer worth 5.1. You're going to have 5.1 and 3, so you're going to have $8 million tied up into two players in your cap space. When you're already going to be negative $8 million when the rule of 51 breaks, when camp breaks, not counting your rookie draft pool, $9 million, your rookie draft pool, your $10 million in operational cap space, and in the even or your practice squad players. Shane was supposed to have this cap fixed, but somehow he has gone over the stupidity of Gettleman. And Gettleman did some stupid things, but you got a guy that's got $47 million tied into Daniel Jones, 23 into Dexter Lawrence, 15 into Brian Burns, another 14 tied into Dexter Lawrence, another 14 tied into Darren Waller, another 11 tied into Bobby Okereke. One of those players is washed up at 31, tight end, who's accounting for almost 5.5% of your cap space. One of them is a quarterback who can't stay healthy and doesn't play well, and he's eating almost 19% of your cap space. Then you go out and grab Brian Burns and give him that huge contract. And I've said this before, if you want to take a look at it from the regards of, was it a good deal in reference to compensation? Yes, 100%. But then you give him that five-year, $141 million deal. And then you do a little, we've did this before, and we're going to do it again, because basically what you did is getting Brian Burns, you just acquired Kayvon Thibodeau 2.0. You really have. because they are almost identical players. But what you did is you paid $141 million to Brian Burns to be an 8-sack guy. And I've said this before. There are so many people on different networks have said that Brian Burns, good player, but he is an 8-sack guy. And you break down what he does. He disappears just as Kayvon Thibodeau does.
Hey, kids, look over there. Who is it? It's Kayvon, the friendly pass rusher. Oh, no, now he's gone.
Brian has a tendency of disappearing for games at a time. We've done this before. How many times did Brian Burns last year go with the game without a sack? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 games. He also went 4 games in a row without a sack. How many times did Brian Burns go without a solo tackle in a game? We'll make it easier. How many times did he go and only had one solo tackle or no solo tackles in a game? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 times. How many times did he only have two? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 times. So 12 times he's gone with either having no tackles or only solo tackles in the game. And he went multitudes of games, 4 in a row without having any sacks. Kind of reminds you of Kayvon Thibodeau a little bit. And I love it because he actually has a higher snap count, Brian Burns does, than Kayvon Thibodeau does, which is even crazier to imagine. He plays anywhere between 79 to 95% of the time. Number of plays, Brian Burns says. So he plays more. He only had 32 tackles and only 32 solo tackles, only 18 assists for 50 total. And you say, well, Tim, you can't look at that season. You got to look at the big season. You got to look at the 12 sack season. Okay. We can do that. His 12-sack season, he actually played in more snap counts. He actually played in a totality of 87% of the snap counts in the big season. But then again, you break down the big 12-sack season. How many times did he go a game without having a sack? 1, 2, 3. Oops, well, hold it. We got to do this again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Not counting the last game of the season because he didn't play. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games he went that year without a sack. How many times did he go with either having 0 tackles, solo tackles, or 1 tackle? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 times he had 0 tackles or 0 solo tackles. How many times that was that he either had 1 tackle or 0 solo tackles in the game? 5 times. How many times did he only have 2? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Another 6. So that's 11 times he's only had either 0 or 2 solo tackles in an entire game. And once again, he will get you his 1 sack and then he will disappear. And how many times in that season, that big breakout season, did he have multiple sacks games? He only had 2 times, 3 times, excuse me, 3 times he had multiple sack games. So he had out of his 12 and a half sacks, 6 of them came in 3 games. Who does that sound like? It sounds like Kayvon Thibodeau. It sounds exactly like Kayvon Thibodeau. I've said this before. You want to talk about Spider-Man coming to New York? I've said this before. What happens the week both Kayvon and Brian Burns disappear? What happens then? What are the fans going to do then? Because it's going to happen. History proves that it is going to happen. That both of these guys at one juncture in this season, probably for multitudes of games, are going to disappear. And Tim was like, wait, you got a 25-year-old edge rusher who's the exact same size and height and has the same deficiencies as Kayvon Thibodeau. Who are your outside linebackers who are going to help maintain and set the edge for these guys? Because neither of them play the run extremely well. When they overly pursue the quarterback and get over-aggressive and lose their assignments and get pushed out of the plays, who's going to mop up for them? Bobby Okereke? Yeah, but you need someone else. You need at least 2 other guys. And who are those 2 other guys going to be? Is it gonna be McFadden? Well, McFadden had the most missed tackles in his position and got benched last year. But people forget about that. We want to talk about the good games, but we don't want to talk about the extremely bad games. So are you going to rely on him? Or is he going to be another one of these giant players that has one good season like a Tay Crowder? And Tay Crowder didn't even have a good season. We went through that. We're not going to go through that again. When you have almost double the amount of solo tackles that you have, double the amount of assists than you do in solo tackles, that is not a good season. So I keep looking at this roster that Shane is building, and I keep looking at the cap space, and I keep scratching my head, and I keep thinking to myself, where is this? I mean, it's I'm going back to the future here, because I'm seeing the same stupidity that we saw with Gettleman. And I've been giving Shane the benefit of the doubt now going on 3 years. But you take a look at some of these moves, you take a look at what's going on, you take a look at the quarterback, you take a look at the things that he's done, you take a look at what he's done in free agency, you take a look at his cap management, and you have to be massively confused. Then you go with our big signs in free agency, John Runyon. Gave him $6.5 million, play with the Giants, another 10 in the next two seasons. Green Bay came out and said, in Green Bay, we've talked about this, that if Runyon wants anywhere near the stupidity of the $10 million, he's been the weakest link on the line for the last 3 years, and this is a playoff team that beat Dallas in the playoffs, we're going to let him walk. So they let a key integral part of their line walk. Why? Because Runyon was already splitting time at the end of the season with a rookie and another player. They were swapping out time. He was the weakest link in the line. Is he a better guard that we have on this roster? Yes, 100%. But that doesn't mean you're good just because you're better on a bad team. I love the thought process and some of the people the way they talk about Runyon. They said, you know what, don't pull him because he does not have a good foot. He does not have good footwork and has tendencies of tripping over his own feet. Has issues with pre-snap penalties. Will be good at pass blocking. But don't expect a lot in reference to the run game. Then we get the guy from the Raiders, and I just love it. He's Cam Fleming 2.0. He's only here because of the offensive line coach. But don't worry. Is he better than someone that we had on this roster? But we're going to give him almost $5 million to play with us. You have a top-heavy roster. You have secondary talent that would be second to third talent on a good team. And you are going to be relying on them to succeed. You built a roster where you have paid majority of your money to Daniel Jones, Andrew Thomas, Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, Darren Waller, and Bobby Okereke. You've given almost 45% of your money to those guys. And that's good. That's what you're building around. You let Saquon Barkley walk. You sit there and tell me that Devin Singletary is going to be a better replacement for him. You want to impress me? Get Dory Jackson to come back. Because you still don't have a CB2. You still don't have depth at safety or starters at safety. You still do not have at least two quality outside linebackers. You still don't have a running mate for Dexter Lawrence. Your offensive line right now consists of an undersized center who had some difficulties last year. A right tackle who is questionable at best. A player that was basically pushed out of Green Bay. You have undersized running backs, which all have speed, but okay, I still need a running back because I'll take a look at the running back room and I cringe a little bit. Your wide receivers are still questionable at best. You could tell me all you want about how Wandale Robinson's going to excel, but I'm not still seeing it. I think Wandale Robinson should be a third down back. Hell, I think we should make him a Darren Sproles type player, which I think he would excel at. But you're looking at a 5'7" wide receiver that you're going to take out of the slot at times and put him on the edge because you don't think teams are going to be smart enough to figure when Wandale's in the slot, the ball's more than likely going to him. You have players that have injury histories. You have bad drafts and you have bad free agency. But somehow we're supposed to get super excited about this team. And I'm trying to, guys. I really am. Listen, I'm going to the draft party. And I'm sitting there and I'm going to wait to see what they do at six. Because all I know is that if Shane does not go quarterback at six, we're looking at a 4-5 win season. Hell, we may have a 4-5 win season with a new quarterback at six, but at least it'll be fun. At least it'll be interesting. At least it will be different. Right now, this is Gettleman 2.0, but the younger version. And that's what's starting to bug me about this team. You got a lot of draft whiffs. You got a lot of whiffs in free agency. You got some trades that just didn't work out. And now you're sitting there with only six draft picks, with multitudes of holes to fill, a question at a quarter. If you think Drew Locke's the answer, you're not even asking the right question. I love it. Well, Drew Locke could be that bridge guy. He couldn't beat out Teddy Bridgewater, and he couldn't beat out Geno Smith twice. And I saw him in that Seattle game. He did not look good. It was just bad plays by the Giant defense. We gotta look at this from the right perspective, guys. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what he's doing. I said it last year when we I said at the beginning of the season last year when I was looking at the salary cap numbers. I kept saying we're gonna run out of by these figures, we are going to run out of money sometime a couple games after midseason. Came a little earlier than I thought, but we traded, of course.
King of the almost sack.
Because of the fact that we didn't have money to even sign a quarterback. There's going to be no live stream today because the eclipse is here and my kids are home early from school for the eclipse. Maybe we'll do a live stream on Wednesday. Haven't decided yet, but if not, make sure you stay tuned for that the Sunday live stream. We also have two tickets that we're going to be giving away to the New York Giants draft party. These are season ticket holder access tickets. So it's a little bit different than getting the general admission tickets, which have been sold out. So we're going to figure out a way to give those away, or we're going to do something. I haven't decided yet. You're going to go out with me, Big L Gigante, and another person. Those names will be a little bit, I know it's a little bit later, but we're going to figure out how to give away these tickets. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And as always, don't forget to like, don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to ring that bell because you want to know why. That'd be awesome.